Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace. Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Alrighty then. I guess we should get going.
Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And I'm Matt Levin. It's Economics on Tap, our version of Marketplace's Happy Hour. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for joining us, Matt. Welcome to the show.
I know. It's my Make Me Smart debut. I'm a little anxious.
Oh, you'll be fine. We'll make sure that Drew is nice to you for half full, half empty, which is the game that we play on Fridays. We also get to some news first. And of course, this is the day that we drink. So what are you drinking?
I am drinking a gin on the rocks, which is kind of like the Matt special, since I discovered that all the calories are in tonic. Little known fact. And so once I reached the age where I couldn't, you know, metabolize a cracker without gaining like 15 pounds, I just switched to a gin on the rocks. But that's kind of.
But the tonic helps you prevent you from getting malaria.
That's it. Yeah. Which British naval historians will know was the secret to success of the British Navy. But anyway, that's another podcast. what are you drinking, Kimberly? Your drinks are always more elaborate and interesting, I feel like, than your co-hosts, typically. No shade to anyone.
I think I just, like, people get to choose what they invest their time in, and I invest my time in cocktails. In this case, it's mulled wine because it's cold and rainy here in D.C., and so I have made some spice mulled wine, and I put it in one of my fancier glasses just so I can feel very fancy.
Nice. Yeah. Looks nice. Is it good?
Thank you. Yes, it's quite tasty, and it's warm. That's nice, so it makes me feel very cozy. Okay, so I guess we should do the news. Why don't you go first?
Okay. Let's start here. Kimberly, I know you are a science fiction fan. Do you watch?
No.
do you watch Black Mirror?
I saw like the first season, but I haven't seen the more recent ones.
Gotcha. Well, I highly recommend you you finish it. It's kind of like mm-hmm. Twilight Zone for the social media age. That, you know, paints a creepingly accurate picture of dystopia. And every day I read stories that feel like a Black Mirror episode, and my news fix today is one of those stories. So there is a new trend on TikTok, and that trend involves dancing Amazon drivers. Have you seen this on TikTok?
No, I saw that you sent me a link earlier, but I didn't actually click it. I'm sorry. What is this?
That's okay. I won't take offense. So basically, people who are ordering stuff from Amazon will leave notes in the delivery instructions, or they'll leave a note on their door, and they'll say, please dance for my surveillance camera, for my Ring camera. which Ring is, that's the, you know, camera associated with the doorbell, which a lot of people have installed to make sure that their Amazon packages don't get stolen. I wish listeners could see your face right now. It's very concerned. Amazon drivers are obeying these instructions, and they do a little dance, and the Ring camera records it, and then the TikTok user posts that to TikTok, and this has seemed to prove fairly popular, although not all Amazon workers are super, super happy with these instructions, because from their perspective, they're worried that, oh, if I literally don't dance in front of this camera, maybe this delivery gets a bad rating. This comes from a story from Vice that I saw earlier this week. So that is my news fix.
Yeah, thoughts? That's really icky. I can definitely imagine, you know, if you're out on deliveries and, you know, it's just the trudge and grind of the day, and then someone's like, hey, take this moment to do a fun dance. I might totally be the person be like, yeah, I'll do a little happy dance. Why not? But, like, the idea of asking somebody to dance for you has so many additional connotations, especially given the demographics of the folks who typically work in these jobs. And I didn't click on the link to watch the video, but I did see the story when you put it in, and it reminded me of this piece from the Atlantic, I think it was several years ago. I brought it up. Yeah, this is from 2019, so pre-pandemic, and they called it the new servant class. And it's one of these pieces that's really stuck with me because it talked about, you know, it, in our increasingly stratified and terrible economic inequality of a society, you have this growing number of people doing servant, what used to be the work of air quote servants for the wealthy. And some of it was like personal services for, like, you know, your hair, skin and nails and stuff like that. But the other part of it was gig work. And this was pre-pandemic. And I feel like that's only gotten more intense, this idea of you have people who are at home a lot and then the people who provide services to them and the level of privilege it takes to ask those folks to dance for you is quite something.
I would tend to agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I do think probably in some of these TikTok users' mind, they think, let's just spice up the day of the delivery worker, but there's no like self-check. That's like, let me really think about what I'm asking them to do here. So, you know, I always like to bring a little bit of dystopia to whatever conversation I'm having.
I mean, it's not hard given the world we live in today.
exactly.
So mine is about the jobs numbers that came out today, which, you know, they're really strong numbers.
Shockingly good.
Shockingly good, as many commentators said. However, not everybody is coming back to work. And every single month, the numbers reflect more and more that this is still a recovery for some. And there's research from the National Women's Law Center that shows, I'm just reading this from a piece in CNBC, that over a million men joined the labor force in January, compared to just 39,000 women. And there are 1.1 million fewer women in the labor force now compared to February 2020, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic. And, you know, now that interest rates are going to start going up, this idea that keeping interest rates low was going to stimulate the economy. And the longer the economy was stimulated, the more people would be able to rejoin the labor force and all these things. And, you know, they're getting ready to raise interest rates when we still do have these disparities. We still have Black unemployment much higher than white unemployment, women not returning to the labor force in the same way. Now, are these problems the Federal Reserve can fix? that's pretty debatable. But I think it's just very fascinating when you look just below these top line numbers to see what's actually going on in this economy. So that was mine. Yeah. What did you notice about the jobs numbers?
Well, I mean, so two things that I think are related to what you pointed out. One was everybody expected these numbers to be pretty dismal because of Omicron. And I think what's particularly relevant for the disparity between men and women coming back to work is schools. I mean, what was happening with Omicron in schools in January, which was in many places was, you know, kind of an unmitigated disaster, right? Where, you know, kids were unable to go to class and some schools had, you know, serious issues reopening during Omicron. So that jumped out at me. And then the second was just, you know, from the jobs report, how surprisingly good it was. I mean, I guess the overall takeaway. I literally did a piece on Wednesday that was like kind of prepping people for why this jobs report might be, you know, misleadingly bad. Woke up Friday morning, saw the Wall Street Journal alert on my phone and was like, oh,
oops.
Yep. Exactly. We make
happens to the best
too.
Of us. Happens to the best of us.
Thank you, Kimberly.
It wasn't you making the mistakes. It was all the people that you interviewed.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of shifting the blame, let's go ahead and play the game. You like that transition? You like that transition?
I did. That was an amazing segue.
Okay. This is half full, half empty, where we give you our thoughts and feelings on various topics, although I was told after last week's show that apparently I play the game wrong, according to Twitter, but...
Oh, no.
Oh, well. Drew Jostad is our host today. Drew, let's go.
All right. So TurboTax is teaming up with Coinbase to offer you your tax refund in crypto if you should choose. Are you half full or half empty?
Half empty.
Go for it.
I mean, I feel like if you want to invest the time and the energy and the effort and the risk to get your tax refund in the speculative currency, go for it. But I think the vast majority of people, that's not a great move.
Yeah. So I guess I am also half empty to stick to the rules of the game. I don't want to get...
There
blast
are
it on
no
Twitter.
Rules.
I think the full context for this is it seems like everybody got into crypto in 2020 and 2021. And now those who got into crypto don't really know what to do with their tax bill, right? There are certain tax implications for being in cryptocurrency, especially if it's, you know, significantly gone up since you originally invested. I think it's also part of a larger trend where exchanges like Coinbase and FTX and some of these other very well-capitalized companies are pairing with more kind of established entities to do business, which I think is super, super interesting. It's yet another example that, you know, crypto is... It is increasingly enmeshing itself into all types of aspects of our economic lives.
Do you think this is a way for the IRS to also get a sense of who, like, is, like, if they issue your refund in crypto, they know that you've got a crypto wallet and account if they audit you later?
Well, I don't know. Sure. The IRS definitely is more interested in crypto assets now than they used to be, much to the ire of, you know, a big chunk of the crypto community. I don't know if this particular story, you know, is spawned from that impulse from the IRS, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Okay. What's next? All right.
I don't know if the IRS would know. It sounds like maybe that you... TurboTax sends it to Coinbase, and that's where it gets converted.
Oh,
I don't know
okay,
on that.
Okay.
I don't know if the... Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you for tamping down
either.
My conspiracy theory.
All right. Next topic is due to a lack of manufacturing capacity and labor, Hershey's says we might be going into Valentine's Day with a candy shortage. Are you half full or half empty?
I mean, my waistline is probably half full, but half empty?
I guess it depends on how you feel about candy as a Valentine's Day gift. Where are you with that?
That's a very loaded question.
Oh, no. I didn't mean it to be.
How am I on candy as a Valentine's Day gift? I purchase a significant amount of Valentine's Day candy. I will eat a significant amount of Valentine's Day candy. And I do not think, well, you know, this is wrapped up in so many things. Valentine's Day, you needed a lot of candy for those parties, is what I'm saying. And so I guess when it says a shortage, like how much candy do we actually all need?
Yeah, I'm half full on this because I think the supply chain screwed up my Valentine's Day gift line of argument will be, I can't wait to watch those TikTok videos. So not just the candy, but, you know, whatever else. The florist had supply chain issues. Sorry, I couldn't get you flowers, gifts, X, Y, and Z, supply chain issues wreck. So half full for me on this one.
Are you half full or half empty on the Belgian right to disconnect law?
All the way full.
Yeah, me too.
All the way full. This is the rule that basically gives people the right to disconnect from their jobs and not be available on their phones or on technology and just actually check out. And I think that if we've learned anything about our mental health in the last couple of years, it's that we all need to be able to disconnect for real sometimes. So I'm all the way full on that one.
I should double check this. I'm pretty sure the Belgian rule only applies to civil servants, but I will double check that shortly.
I think that's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Drew. It does feel like I never questioned Drew. I think it feels like the Europeans have been a little ahead of the U.S. On stuff like this, as well as kind of like on the privacy component. But especially when it comes to mitigating the technological kind of encroachment of your job, because it's not just Belgium. I think a couple other countries in Europe have tried other stuff like this. And again, yes, to preserve the sanity of the workforce, it seems like a good idea.
That's all I got. After it dropped more than 25% yesterday, are you half full or half empty on the Meta stock price?
Half empty. There's a whole lot of people who really actively, strongly dislike that company, and those numbers that came out of that Meta earnings report were not great. They lost a ton of money when Apple clamped down on, you know, that sort of, you know, the advertising and tracking and stuff. And
that's right.
The VR situation is not going the way that they want it to. And I'm not sure how either one of those gets better anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm reluctant to take a position on the stock price specifically, but I'll say overall Facebook has, and I'll just say Facebook because that's what comes out of my mouth. Apologies to the rebranding experts. They have some significant headwinds against them. What was really interesting is Facebook's earnings were disappointing, but that wasn't true of a lot of their competitors and kind of tech broadly, even though the sector took a hit on the market. But Google Snapchat did well. Google did well. And part of the reason Google did well was because the advertising dollars that were going to Facebook and took a hit from Apple's new privacy constraints, they're going, well, we can't target our advertising budget as specifically on social. Let's go back to search, which is super, super interesting. Also super interesting, kind of like the personal enmity, it seems, exists between Tim Cook and Mark Zuckerberg. And this does seem to be like kind of like a point Cook, at least at this particular junction. So, yeah, I don't think I went half full or half empty there, but it's my answer.
That takes it. Yeah, I'm not sure if that takes it at a half full or half empty. It just is.
Yeah,
I'll allow it.
Thanks.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you. Maybe now the internet won't yell at me. Oh, no, I'm sure people will find a reason. That is it for us today. Make Me Smart. We'll be back on Monday with Kai and Marielle. If anything made you smile or makes you smile over the weekend, or if you have questions or comments, you can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message. We are at 508-827-6278. That's 508-UB-SMART.
I do like this music. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Marque Green. Today's episode was engineered by the great Drew Jostad. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
The team behind our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Mel Rosenberg and Emily McCune. The theme for the music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by Drew Jostad. And the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
How's your mold wine?
Stronger than I thought, apparently. I was stumbling there a little.
You were fine. You were fine. I had to pace myself with this gin, so.
Gin is the devil.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.